Take your Bibles now, and I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. We're in a study on listening to God. And I know you're not going to remember all of these, but you have the material. You can keep them, go back to it sometimes. But as you go through the experiences of life, many times God will call these principles back to your mind as you have applied them to your heart and mind, and that'll be a good thing. But we've talked so far about God is still talking. How many of you believe God's still speaking? Raise your hand. And we talked about some of the ways he's doing that, why God speaks, God's purpose in speaking to us today, a number of different reasons we went over, and then God's way of getting our attention. Many times we're not listening to God like we should, and God has ways of getting our attention. And it may be through friends, it may be through circumstances. God has different ways, different things that happen that he allows us to, gets our attention and allows us to get back listening to him like we should. Last week we talked about how to know when God is speaking. How do we know when it's God? How do we know it's not God? We hear different things. Some people hear two voices. I've met a few that hear a whole lot more than two voices, I think. But we have to discern, is this God speaking to us, or is it the devil or demons speaking to us? I hope you know that demons are real and they are active. Now, they can't indwell us and control us, but the devil can fight us and try to deceive us. And so we have to know those things. Now, today we want to talk about factors or things that determine what we hear. Things that determine what we hear, how we hear them, and what we hear. And that's sort of true in every area of our lives. Our relationship with other people determines how much confidence we have in what they say and what we want to hear from them, and a number of different factors that enter into that. But we're talking about hearing from God, listening to God. Psalm 103, let's drop down to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. I sure am glad for that, aren't you? Slow to anger. We know, I always thought it was a Baptist till I read that phrase, slow to anger there. But at any rate, plenteous in mercy. God is. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is removed from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Thank God for that. Then look at verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children. And that gives you an idea of the relationship. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are but dust. But as a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And if we fear him, we want to hear him. We want to know what he's saying. We have a reverence for God. Fear is not like we think he's a bully in heaven ready just to take a baseball bat and hit us over the head, but a reverence that we have, an awe that we have for God. And knowing our relationship as his children, knowing that we're redeemed and saved, then we should want to hear from our Heavenly Father. So what we think about God determines what we hear from God. If we don't think right about God, we won't listen or hear the things that we should hear from God. We have to think right about who God is and the relationship we have and how we can know that he cares and wants to speak to us. So we speak, first of all, about three primary factors in that relationship. Our relationship with him is number one. What we think about God determines what we hear. Our relationship with the Father, our relationship with God. And so our relationship affects what we hear. Now, if you're unsaved, there's one message God has for you, and that is get saved. Amen. If you're here and you're not sure, 100% for sure, you're going to heaven, you need to hear the voice of God and get saved. I had the privilege of leading a 21-year-old young lady to the Lord yesterday. I had a message for her. She did not know she was saved, and I said, "May I share something with you?" And she said, "Yes," and I shared it with her, and she received Christ as her Savior. Well, that happened the week before. I thank God that I have a message to give, and I can tell them that this is what God is saying to you. He loves you. You're a sinner. You need your sin paid for, and Jesus paid for it. Now will you receive the gift of eternal life? So one message, that is, get saved. You're a sinner. You need to be born again. You have to be born again, born from above. Your spirit is dead, and then the Holy Spirit quickens you, and you're born again. The Spirit comes alive, the soul and spirit, or the Spirit within us. And then to a believer, a different relationship to a believer, and that when we get saved, that begins our relationship as a father and children. That begins our relationship. The very moment you receive Christ as your Savior, that relationship starts. And so when we are saved, then out of that we get eternal security. I asked the young lady yesterday, "Now that you're saved, will you ever sin again?" That's a very strong question, and they look at you a little bit, and she said, "Yes." And I said, "Will you lose your salvation then?" And she didn't really know the answer, and I had to give her a little lesson on security of the believer. The moment you get saved, thank God, our relationship is we're secure now and forevermore in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good, isn't it? We are saved, born again. And so that begins our relationship, our eternal security. But then there's that matter of identification. In other words, our daily walk with Him, our daily joy that we have, or the victory that we want to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that identification with Him. In other words, Christ's life is now my life. My life is now Christ's life. His life is mine, and mine is His. And Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I." It's not me, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. Yet it's not me, it's Christ living in me. And so these two relationships, one, salvation, which gives us our position in Christ and our security, and then identification, and that identification, when we recognize who we are in Christ, then that makes a difference in what we hear from God. So in other words, in your outline there, we are forgiven children. I like that, don't you? If I'm forgiven, God has forgiven me of all of my sins and the judgment of my sins, I'm in good standing with Him. And I feel free to talk to Him. And then He's not a distant God. So many people think God's way off out there and He's not looking, He's not interested. He's just a some kind of melancholy perfectionist God up there. And he doesn't really care about what's happening in my life or your life. And He's just a distant God. I'm glad my God is a close God. And He is everywhere present. If you believe that, say amen. He's everywhere present. He's right here, right now. He's all around us. Now, how does God do that? I don't know. We'll ask Him when we get to heaven. He may or may not tell us. But God is God, and God is everywhere present. And the Bible declares He is. And so we don't have a distant God. And we also understand, as forgiven children, that He loves us. You know, some people have a hard time accepting the fact that God really loves them. And God loves you, my dear friend. He loved you to save you, but He also loves you after you get saved. He loves you as His own child. God loves you. You say, "Well, I don't know how He could love me. I'm not perfect, and I don't do everything right." God loves us, and it is a love that is absolutely a forgiving love, and a love that is unconditional. As far as love, fellowship is conditional, but His love for us is not. And then we can approach Him with boldness and assurance. I'm glad I can boldly go to my Father in heaven. I'm His child. I'm saved. I'm born again. I belong to Him. He loves me. And He's invited me to come boldly into His presence in Hebrews. So I do that. So we can approach Him with boldness and assurance. And remember, you're accepted by belief. You are accepted by God because of your belief, not your behavior. Because we're not always going to behave right, but we're still God's children. Now, if we choose to sin, then we'll have to pay the price for that and be chastened by God. But we are God's, and we didn't become God's because we earned it or deserved it. We don't remain God's because of our behavior, but we are accepted by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, in the outline, the major division is Roman numeral 2, our understanding of God, our understanding of Him. We are born with impressionable minds. You didn't know your ABCs and all the alphabet when you were in your mother's womb, but you had a mind, and then you were born into this world. It's sort of like having a marker board that has nothing on it, or a chalkboard that's totally black and nobody's written on it. But as we go through life on our chalkboards, our minds, there are certain things that come into our minds, and we develop some preconceived ideas. I've learned over the years that some of the preconceived ideas I had that people put in my mind were not true. And I learned it from the Bible and also from experience in life. And a lot of viewpoints that we have sometimes are based on what others taught us. I cease to be amazed at some of the things I hear people say in our churches even nowadays, and I wonder, where in the world did you get that? Where did you get that? And a lot of times it's because of a mother, a daddy, or somebody else that influenced them. And a lot of times, there are many influences. Sometimes it's our parents. And you have a lot of expressions, a lot of ways about you, is because you were raised there with your mother and your daddy. And there are certain things that are alike. And then there's some ideas they put in your mind, maybe good, maybe bad, maybe right, maybe wrong, maybe biblical, maybe not. But you develop some preconceived ideas, and sometimes about God. Peers do that. Preachers can do that sometimes. And Sunday school teachers, these positions of influence, especially in the spiritual realm. And sometimes we have domineering parents. Parents who are, in some cases, who are not interested, who don't show love, who are just domineering in our lives. And they say, you do what I said to do, and I don't have to give you an answer. I don't have to tell you why. And sometimes it might be good to slow down and tell them why you're doing a certain thing and why you have that conviction. Wouldn't be anything in the world wrong with it. It might help. But sometimes we just feel like I could never measure up. And I grant you, there's some of you right here today, the way you were raised, you always felt like I could just never measure up. I can't ever totally please Daddy. I cannot please Mama, or one or the other, or maybe both in some cases. I just can't ever measure up. And then sometimes, because we have that in our minds, we also look at God like that. And that will be a miserable life for you if you feel like that you've got to jump through hoops every day and be absolutely perfect all the time. I'm not suggesting you feel free to sin, not at all. But here's the thing, you are going to sin. And so we have to understand that God loves us and that we can never totally measure up to it. And sometimes we just have to understand that God loves us no matter what somebody else has given us in that experience. Now, there's some key areas in understanding what we would call the nature of God. Key areas. Number one, is He a loving or a demanding Father? Well, you could argue that He demands some things out of us, but in the context of which I'm speaking, we know that He is a loving Father, isn't He? I'm so glad that my loving Father forgives me when I ask Him. Every once in a while, I do something I shouldn't do. Now, I know that shocks you, but look at your neighbor, and they do the same thing. There's things we do sometimes we shouldn't do. Probably one of the most common things is you lose your temper in traffic. But at any rate, don't ask me why I thought of that one. But at any rate, we do some things sometimes that we shouldn't do. But aren't you glad we can go to the Father and say, Father, I blew it. I messed up. I'm so sorry. And that shouldn't be an excuse to keep sinning. If you're bound to sin, you're bound to suffer. But what I'm saying is, thank God, when we get it right in our heart and mind, we can say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And guess what? He'll do it. And so that's the kind of Father we have, a God of love. And he would say something like, that's okay, trust me, the next time I'll make your joy full. And so this is the way he would be. Now, you could have a demanding one that would be like that. And that's the kind of daddy that would say, oh, I know you, you're making B's, but I'm demanding that you make A's. Let me tell you, every student, every person does not have the capacity necessarily to make A's. Some do. Some don't. And I know educators might want to argue with that, but it's definitely proven, and it is true. Not everybody has the same capacity for learning. So sometimes parents are always, you messed up again. What's the matter with you? And you didn't do what I told you to do. And the standard is so high that you feel like you could never please them. And sometimes we bring that over into our relationship with God. But God doesn't want us to feel that way about him. And then intimate or distant friend. Intimate, is he an intimate or distant friend? The greatest intimacy, I believe, is friendship. Now, most people think of intimacy and they put that with sex and intimacy and sex. And, of course, that's part of it. But the greatest intimacy is friendship. It is emotional, not just sexual. And we have an emotional intimacy with God. I'm glad I can be intimate with God. God likes that. God does not mind that. And Christ is always there. I'm glad he listens and he's interested. Sometimes I try to talk to people and it's obvious as their eyes go to the ceiling and over here and over there and over yonder, they're not interested at all in what I'm saying. But God is never that way. He is never that way. God is always interested. And so he listens and we can count on God listening. Everybody's not available to us. The pastor's not always available to you. He wishes he could be and all of that, but it's not going to happen. But sometimes you just have to recognize and realize that you can always count on God. God is going to have time to listen to you. He's not in a hurry. Patient or intolerant teacher. I'm glad we have a patient teacher. And God says, I understand. Let me show you where you were wrong. We have a high priest that is touched with our infirmities. Aren't you glad Jesus knows what we're going through? The Bible says he was tempted in all ways like as we are, and yet, very important, without sin. But understand that he understands us. He understands what we're going through. And so I understand, he might say, let me show you where you went wrong. Here's how to avoid the mistake next time. And God is patient with us. And that would be true with a teacher, a patient teacher, compared to an intolerant teacher who would say, I'm so aggravated with you. I'm tired of fooling with you. You blew it again. Why do I have to tell you over and over? And I can't stand the mistakes you're making. We should be patient and loving, having a patient teacher. All of us that are going through school know the ones that had patience with us, took time with us, and loved us. And usually you made better grades for them than those that were mean and hateful. I remember an English teacher, and she was a very social-like type person. About all she could ever talk about was going to the Mardi Gras and what she wore and all that kind of thing. And she favored the rich kids over the others, and that was so obvious to everybody. And she had no patience much at all with someone like maybe myself. Ms. Barbara, that's my excuse anyway. Maybe somebody like myself. But at any rate, we know that we'd rather have somebody who really cares. I made straight A's in algebra. I loved it. I loved to work it. But I had a teacher that loved me and took time with me and showed me and made me believe that I could do it. And I did it. And I loved it. I still loved it. I don't know if I could do it now. Everything's changed so much in math. But at any rate, I'm glad I don't have to fool with it. then we have somebody that's maybe gentle or angry, a gentle or angry guide, a gentle guide. What is that? Well, we get off course sometimes. We do, and we need that guide. He is grieved when we get off course. When you get off course, God may be angry to some degree, but he's really grieved. We grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God, and he warns us to get back on track, and then he puts us back on track as we turn to him. And then an understanding or insensitive counselor. Which one would you rather have? An understanding or an insensitive counselor? Well, I'd rather have an understanding counselor. And they would say, I understand. I'm going to help you. And somebody we can unload our hurts on and our frustrations. Most of us have experienced or are experiencing some grief. Let me tell you who the most effective counselor is during that time. It's somebody that maybe doesn't have a lot of words, but they're quiet. They weep with you. They put their arms around you and maybe say a prayer with you. That's good counseling. You don't have to have a litany of words and a bunch to do it. You just need to do what God says. In verse 8 of our text back there, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And that reminds us of him. And then we know that he wept over Jerusalem, Luke 19:41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. So he knows what it is to be grieved and to have heartaches and to have problems. He knows what it is when you lose a loved one. He wept when Lazarus died. Of course, he took care of that matter, and he can. But he did weep, showing us his humanity, even there with his deity. And then would you rather have a generous or reluctant provider? Well, most of us would rather have a generous provider. And so get this in your mind today that God enjoys providing for you. He really does. Now, sometimes we go through trials and we may wonder about that, but believe me, God delights in providing for his children. We are his children, and he provides for us. And I'm glad that God is not stingy and calculating. Say, well, I'm not going to give you one penny over the tithe. You know, I'm going to give the tithe, not another penny over that. God's not that way. God is not calculating. First of all, he doesn't have to calculate all that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills and the gold and the hills, all of that. But God is going to take care of us. Now, would we rather have somebody faithful or inconsistent as a sustainer? Faithful or inconsistent? I'm so glad we have a faithful sustainer. He's not just a sustainer, but he's a faithful sustainer. In other words, he will not abandon us. He is trustworthy. He is reliable. And he's going to take care of us. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do what? They fail not. They are new how often? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions are new every morning. He is consistently there for us. Thirdly, our attitude toward him. We need to possess the right attitude. We need to be submissive to him. Lord, I'll do what you say you want me to do. What's so great about hearing him and him is telling us to do something and then we don't do it? We need to hear him and say, I'll do what you tell me to do. Our attitude toward him should be submissive. And then it should be, secondly, trusting. In other words, when I go to the Lord and ask him for direction, I believe he's going to lead me in the right direction. And so we trust him. He leads in the right direction. I'm confident when I depend on him, he's going to lead me in the right direction. Now, I had some friends in high school who didn't do that. They led me in the wrong direction, and I got in trouble. But not God. God's always going to lead you in the right direction, and he'll do that. And so we have to be confident that he'll guide us. And then be thankful, submissive, trusting, thankful, even thankful for yesterday's disasters, even if it was. Be thankful. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. And the next verse tells us he wants us to be more like Jesus. And sometimes we need some of those things. Now, the question comes up again, and I want to cover it very quickly here. what about sin? He's talking about God's love and God being there and God forgiving and this, that, and the other. What about sin? God will chasten you if you sin. That doesn't mean you're not his child. In fact, that means you are his child. He says, if I don't chasten you, then you're illegitimate. In other words, you're not really mine. You're not mine. So we know that God chastens us, and the motive of his chastening is always love. When God takes us to the woodshed, it's not because he hates us. It's because he loves us, and he wants to help us out. And that's great to have a loving father. A loving father does not destroy a disobedient child, does he? A loving father, and you may have felt like it a few times, and I know my daddy probably did, but he doesn't destroy that. I remember getting in a lot of trouble when I was 12 years old. I wound up in jail, and my daddy came to see me the next morning after being away from home about 3 days with a couple of other guys, and that's a whole different story, but at any rate, that's where they put me in a padded cell. And I was glad it was padded because I knew Daddy was coming. And he was a stern German. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I'm in a padded cell. But when my daddy walked in, he had a little brown bag with him. And my favorite thing, and I still like them, by the way, Dr. Barber likes peanut butter. I like cinnamon rolls with that thick white icing on them. So if you happen to want to bring me some, that's all right. Bring Dr. Barber peanut butter and bring me those. And my daddy walked into that little bag. I thought, I wonder what's in that bag. And he didn't hit me. He didn't swing at me. He didn't have any negative words. He just handed me that little bag. And I looked at it. It was those cinnamon rolls. You know what he was saying? I love you. And I'm here for you. And I'm going to forgive you. And he did. By the way, that's probably one of the reasons I'm here right now. Because he handled it with love. He didn't try to destroy me. And all through that process, my dad loved me, and as a dad could, and my mother too. Now, summarizing it right here very quickly. Knowing God speaks, as I said earlier, is not enough. We have to understand God's character. What is that? Our relationship with God. I'm his child. Our understanding of God, who he is and what he thinks about you and what he thinks about me. And then our attitude toward him. As we know those things to be true, then we ought to be obedient and trust him and follow his leadership. Then are you hearing God accurately? Are you hearing God? Number one, you ought to want to hear God, but are you hearing him accurately? Our understanding affects what we hear. It affects what we hear. We're his children. He is a loving, forgiving, and kind God. We ought to submit to him. Then, if there's sin in your life, the only thing you can do with that, my friend, is judge it. And quit grieving a holy heavenly Father who loves you. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the principles of it. Help us to be sensitive to the leadership of your speaking through the Holy Spirit and through others, through circumstances, through the Word of God. And help us to be obedient to you and to follow your leadership, which is totally trustworthy. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.